بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This third day of Ramadan, 1432 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. As we all know, we're still reading Surah Al-Baqarah. In fact, we're still reading the 217th verse. We started the exegesis yesterday but could not exhaust it. So insha'Allah ta'ala, we hope to do that today and continue from that. So we are reading the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ وَصَدٌّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِهِ مِنْهُ أَكْبَرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ ولا يزالون يقاتلونكم حتى يردوكم عن دينكم ان استطاعوا ومن يرتد منكم عن دينه فيموت وهو كافر فاولئك حبطت اعمالهم في الدنيا والاخره واولئك اصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. So we stopped at وصد عن سبيل الله, isn't it? وَصَدٌّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. We haven't treated وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. We stopped at وَصَدٌّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, preventing people from following the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah was responding to what the kuffar, to the query of the kuffar. Their query was that their people, somebody amongst them, had been killed and that two others were captured and had become captives. And so they were querying that because according to them that had happened in a holy month. And the holy month is that of Rajab. If you people claim to respect sanctimonies, if you people claim to respect sacred sites and periods, then why do you fight even when it's your holy month, when you are not supposed to fight? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that really to the Muslims at that time, killing or fighting in the month of Rajab or any other sacred month, any of the three other sacred months, with Rajab making four, fighting in any of the months was actually haram. It was prohibited. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to count those things that are equally prohibited or even worse than what the Muslims had done. So Allah said, وَصَدٌّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you prevent people from following the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is worse than fighting in the sacred month. And worse still, these people had done these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is counting, also in the sacred month. You remember that when the Muslims, we read that in the past when we were talking about Hajj and Umrah, that when the Muslims came to perform Umrah, the Kuffar had stopped them from entering Makkah. They had come for Hajj, but before they could even do the Umrah, before going for Hajj, the kuffar stopped them from going. You remember that? فَإِنْ أُحْسِرْتُمْ فَمَسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي. If you are stopped from entering Makkah, then you can slaughter your ram, you can make your sacrifice, and it's assumed that you have completed the rite. And then from there you can go back home. If you don't get another opportunity to perform Hajj, that will suffice. We read that maybe 2-3 years ago. Some of you were probably not in the university yet, but we have taken that so that they prevented the Muslims from performing Hajj. So what they did to the Muslims was also in the holy month. If they had any respect for the sacred month, why did they do that to the Muslims, especially when they were about to carry out a major rite in their religion? This ayah is also reminding all other non-Muslims that come between Muslims and the practice of their religion. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, preventing a Muslim from performing such a major rite in his religion is worse than fighting that person so that the Muslims can get to perform it, even if it's in the sacred month. And as we have always said, Islam prefers dialogue, because Islam grew more when Muslims had the chance to engage non-Muslims in dialogue than it did through wars. The wars were not majorly about expansion, as a lot of them will want to believe. Like the war that Uthman bin Fodio fought, that was not what gained him rivers to Islam, as much as the da'wah that he did. The war came as self-defense, not as a major strategy to expand the Muslim world, not at all. Because al-Islam is al-Istislam. It's submission, willingly. It's total and willing submission to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you say, I'm a Muslim, because you are afraid of being killed if you do not say so, you are not a Muslim. Do we understand? You're not a Muslim if the thing is not coming from the bottom of your heart. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى. If you do not worship Allah sincerely because you seek Allah's reward, and if you do not worship Allah strictly as He wants to be worshipped, then you are not a true Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this ayah, and we are also using this ayah, to appeal to other non-Muslims to beware of that. No right Muslim will do anything to prevent a non-Muslim from worshipping his whatever the way he deems fit. No Muslim does that. In fact, during jihad, what Islam says is that we don't go into churches, we don't go into temples or synagogues, we don't do that. And we don't kill a pastor or a catechist or a pope or anything, any such religious leader that is not known to in any way participate in the war. If he is not participating, if he is not one of those that are oppressing the Muslims that are now retaliating, then he should not be killed. So that Islam does not accept in any way any Muslim that is preventing a non-Muslim from practicing his religion. In fact, Islam says that non-Muslim women should not look like Muslim women. They should dress in such a way that they will be recognized. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. Muslim women have been asked to dress in a particular way so that they will be known as being distinct from others. So that we'll be able to know that this is a Muslim woman and the Sharia applies to her. This is a non-Muslim woman, the Sharia does not apply to her. So if she commits an offense, we'll ask her to bring her book that she believes in and we'll judge her according to it, especially if it's either the Old Testament or the New Testament or both. Any book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, even if it has been interpolated, we will judge her according to her book. The difference between Islam and other religions is that other religions do not have this kind of tolerance. They do not. If you were to go to any Christian state, they do not recognize that. They do not establish courts that are strictly Islamic. They are opposed to establishing banks that are strictly Islamic. If it's a Christian state, because I can see Christians in Nigeria vehemently opposed to Islamic Bank. That means a Christian state would not tolerate Islamic Bank. But a Muslim state will tolerate Christian Bank if there is any such thing. Because there must be a difference in such a way that a Christian has the right. As a matter of right, he will practice his religion without interference in the Islamic State. It's even important that the difference be made, because it's better and it's easier for you to be fair to somebody whom you know as being different from you. If you say the person is the same with you, you can't be fair to him. If you say women are men and men are the same, they have the same rights and privileges, you'll be very unfair to women. So you ask a woman to chop firewood, like men do. You ask a woman to clear sewage, like men do. You know? You can imagine how it looks. You ask a woman to dig trenches like men do and things like that, so that our women will become like American women, our women will become like Swedish women, where women have no dignity whatsoever. Take some of these women to Saudi Arabia, they will not go back to their countries. I promise you that. I challenge America to take 50,000 American women to Saudi Arabia to stay for 1 month. Not up to 10,000 will go back to America. If they are allowed to stay, they will prefer to stay in Saudi Arabia because they will realize for the first time that they are actually women, distinct from men. Because if you try to make a woman a man, you only make her a slave to the woman. So if you say that Muslims and non-Muslims are the same, you are causing trouble. Because they are not the same and will never be the same. So the way to be fair to both is to agree that they are different and they should be treated differently. That's the only way you can achieve peace. And that is the correction that Cerdona made to Zeke more than 40 years ago. When Zeke said, they Christians and we Muslims are the same, we should forget our differences. Cerdona said, no. If we forget our differences, that will be crisis. We should know our differences and respect them. And that's the fairest thing to do. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you prevent a Muslim from practicing his religion, that is a greater sin than the Muslim fighting you to gain freedom, so he will be able to practice his religion. So the only thing that will bring up real peace is that Muslims be allowed to practice their religion and Christians be allowed to practice their religion to the fullest. Any aspect of life to which Christianity has a solution, allow Christians to prefer their solution and to use it as much as they can. If Muslims have any solution to any problem, allow them to apply it. If not, there will never be peace. If you want to know the solution to the problem of the Jama'atu Ahli Sunnah, Lidda'awati Wal Jihad, or any other group, it is in allowing Muslims to be Muslims. That's where the problem came. When the colonial masters came to Nigeria, they met Muslims practicing Islam. They met Muslims with their Sharia states. They caused the trouble we have now by destroying the Sharia states. If they had allowed us to operate our Sharia state as we were, this problem wouldn't have occurred at all. So it would have been, we have a Sharia state, they have their Christian or whatever state they want to have, and we recognize it as that, they recognize our own as that. So none of us raises alarm when the other practices his or her religion. They want diplomatic ties with Israel, let them have it. We don't want diplomatic ties with Israel. We want to be a member of the Organization of Islamic Countries. We want to have an Islamic bank. We want to do this, we want to do that. Let us have it. We wouldn't have had this trouble. Now that that has started, that has been done, we want to revert to our former position. There is no sin in that, because you met us doing that, you perverted it, we want it back. If these things are not looked at, there is no way any government can have peace with Muslims. If it's not done to non-Muslims, there is no way we can have peace with them. So we are eager to see non-Muslims liberated, so that they be non-Muslims to the core as they want to be. We have no problem with that as Muslims. But we also want to be allowed to be Muslims as much as we want to be. I hope our legislators are listening. That is what we want them to say on our behalf. If we vote you as member of the House of Assembly, this exactly is what we want you to say on our behalf. We don't want your money. We don't want anything from you. We don't want to be members of your party. We just want you to do as we want, because you are representing us. If this does not happen, whatever measure you put in place to check these troubles, you will not succeed. So وَصَدٌ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ. If people prevent others, like the Kuffar prevented the Muslims from going to the Kaaba, in the holy month, they refused to allow the Muslims to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Muslims were in Mecca and worshipping Allah, they made life very intolerable for them. They made life very unbearable. They didn't buy from them, they didn't allow them to buy. They didn't sell to them, they didn't allow them to sell. They didn't give them daughters to marry, they didn't even allow them to marry out their own daughters. Life became so difficult for them because they were supposed to be prevented from worshipping Allah. Just like life is becoming difficult for Muslims in this country today. You can imagine that you can't keep your beard in Maiduguri, anywhere the soldiers are taken to check the so-called Boko Haram. They make life unbearable for us. You keep your beard, as the Prophet said you should keep them, trouble. Policemen will shoot you. Soldiers will shoot you. They rape your wife. Now some people are threatening to kill the wives of Muslims. So now some Muslims will not want their wives to wear hijab so that they will not be recognized as Muslims. But the Jama'atu Ahli Sunnah wa Lidda'awati Wal Jihad is not killing Christians. It's not killing Christian women. It's not killing pastors. The group is killing the police that killed them. I don't believe that all that they're doing in that respect is right. I don't believe so. But at least they are killing those who killed them. They may kill those who are not part of it, who did not even support what was done to them. But at least they are killing people who have an identity, that they are the police and they are the ones who killed them. So you can address the matter as far as that is concerned. But what if somebody who just goes about killing the wives of Muslims? What kind of identity is that? That if a man is a Muslim, he is guilty of whatever offense was committed against you? That means you're fighting the whole of Islam, and then Islam will now fight back. What happens? So, the practice of Islam has been made very difficult for Muslims. And whether we like it or not, Jonathan is the president of this country. Telba is the governor of Niger State. Whether he likes the Darul Islam or not, whether he likes the Ahlul Sunnah or not, whether he likes the Salafiyah or not, whether he likes to stop people from drinking beer or not, whether he prefers people who drink beer and prostitute and all that, whether he prefers those or not, it doesn't matter. He is our governor. And our interest should be his interest. If he wants peace to reign, he should allow Muslims to practice Islam. Just like we ask any other person in authority to allow Muslims to practice Islam. And Islam, not the one that you dictate, not the one that is right to you, but the one that the Quran and Hadith ask us to practice. Because George Bush has his own version of Islam. Isn't it? There's Islam, Biriwayati Bush Jr. Isn't it? There's also Islam, of course, Biriwayati Talba, Biriwayati this, Biriwayati that, and so on. Biriwayati Nigerian Army, Nigeria Police, and every other person has his own riwaya. I was just told that somebody said he will not go to the mosque to pray. He will stay in his office, which is up there, maybe 2-3-story building, that he's even closer to Allah when he's praying, so he will not come down to the mosque. So that is his own riwaya. That is his own version of Islam. But we should be allowed to practice Islam according to the dictates of the Quran and Sunnah. If not, then what will happen will be that it will be justified for the Muslims to fight back, to fight those who are preventing them from practicing their religion. We want to avoid that because it's easier to spread Islam when there is no fight. It's easier because we believe that the Quran is more convincing than any other book on earth. So if we are allowed to read it to people and make them see reason with the Quran, we get more reverse. It has been proven all over the world, especially in the Western world, where people care to read. You know, it's said in Nigeria that if you want to hide any information, put it in a book. And nobody will know about it. Is it true or false? Huh? In Nigeria, if you want to hide any information from people, just write it down in a book. And maybe 90% of Nigerians will not know about it. Because we don't read. But if you go to places where people read, you find that they revert to Islam more than to any other religion. Because the Quran is more convincing. So we prefer a situation in which we have the time and the peace to be able to read the Quran to people. So we should be allowed to do it to the fullest. وَصَدٌّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ. If people also disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if people are atheists, if people are secularists, and so on and so forth, it's a very great sin before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I said yesterday, even this country does not allow people to say we don't believe in the Constitution. If you come out and say that on TV, that is an offense to the government. Isn't it? In fact, it could be looked at as crime. They will say it's what? Treason? Or is it sedition? Or whatever. They could call that treason. that you say you don't believe in the Constitution and you have total disrespect for the Constitution and you show it practically, of course that is treasonable. So if man does not tolerate those who have disrespect for his laws, why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be tolerant of people who are disrespectful? That of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be greater. وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ I'm preventing people from entering al-masjid al-haram to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the kuffar did to the Muslims who were going to perform pilgrimage. وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِهِ مِنْهُ And expelling the people of Makkah from their towns because they chose to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's being done to Muslims today in Jos. It's been done to Muslims today in Maiduguri and so on. People have been expelled from their towns. Some Muslims in Jos that have been there, their parents were there, their great-grandfathers were born in Jos. Great-grandfather was born in Jos. The great-grandfather gave birth to his grandfather. His grandfather gave birth to his father, all in Jos. His father gave birth to him. He gave birth to his children. His children gave birth to his grandchildren, all in Jos. Today they have been expelled from Jos. Their houses have been burnt. Some have been destroyed and leveled. And the land has been sold to some other non-Muslims in the place. And this is referred to as justice. Since it is happening to Muslims. If it's happening to non-Muslims, it is terrorism. All these must be addressed if we want peace. So when you say, what do the Boko Haram want? You know, it's being myopic. It is actually, what do the Muslims want? Because this crisis that we're seeing, if you're looking for just a group, you're making a mistake. Because there are people who may not believe in the Boko Haram as a sect, but they are also part and parcel of this crisis today, because the thing is affecting them one way or the other. They now also see it as their own fight. The Jama'atu Ahlul Sunnah, Lidda'awatu Wal Jihad, may not even know about them, but they are operating too. So it is, what do the Muslims want? That's the truth of the matter. وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِهِ مِنْهُ أَكْبَرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ These all are greater sins to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than killing a non-Muslim. وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ Al-fitna here. Ordinarily, you know fitna as trouble, skirmishes, anarchy, disorder and so on and so forth. Ordinarily people see this as fitna. But then there is the fitna that means, especially because Allah said al-fitnatu. So al-fitnatu here is al-kufru. Okay? Disbelief, polytheism, humanism, atheism, and so on and so forth. All these are the greatest fitna. There is the fitna also that has to do with tribulations or trials. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries you, is also a fitna. Okay? So, but, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ So that's fitna, trial. But the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concentrating more on in this ayah is kufr, disbelief, polytheism. Polytheism is a greater sin to Allah than war or fighting or killing. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنِ اسْتَطَاعُوا And now Allah is addressing the Muslims and telling them that the polytheists, the unbelievers will never stop fighting you. Fighting you. Who is you here? Muslims, Islam. They will never stop fighting Islam until such a time that they have been able. Until such a time that they have been able to make you commit apostasy. Until such a time that they have indoctrinated you so much so that you now begin to hate the teachings of your religion. If they come, this is what they will do. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that too. إِنَّهُمْ إِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. If they get to you, if they have the chance, what they will do to you, Muslims, is that first of all they will attempt to wipe you off the face of the earth. Of course that will not be possible. That will not be possible. The Jews attempted that. The Americans aided that in 1964. They lost some Americans, sacrificed some Americans in Egypt, and made it look like something that some other people had done. The Arabs now braced for a war and they were massacred, seriously. The attempt was to wipe them off the face of the earth, but that did not happen. The more you kill the Arabs, the more they grow in population. The more you try to kill the Muslims, you know, anything that Islam wants, because it's from Allah, there's a formula that makes it happen so easily. Allah wants, at the end of the day, Muslims to overpower other religions. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. And because of that, he gave a simple formula. You Muslims, one man, marry four wives, and multiply. So you have a 27-year-old Muslim having 16 children. 30-year-old Muslim, he has 30 children. He has 20 children. Some have 23 children. You know? And you have one wife, you have two children, and one dog. And the Muslim, instead of the dog, he has children. And so at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, they are more populous. You kill three, and tomorrow 16 families all have children. In one family there are four wives or three wives. In fact, in one house you see brothers, maybe seven brothers all living in the house. Each person has three wives. One has 16 children, one has 21, one has this, one... Like that. And they, what they want is a comfortable life. So one man has a flat, a whole big flat, six rooms in the flat, only two children in it, and then only one wife, and then a dog. We, instead of the dog, we have seven children in place of the dog. So now, if there is anything, any show of strength between us, definitely we have the upper hand. We have the upper hand. Islam has already given solutions to all the problems that we may encounter. The problem with us is that we abandon those solutions. And these people are indoctrinating us deliberately because they know that as long as we hold on to those solutions, they will never succeed. You know, W.E. Gladstone said it many years ago, more than 100 years ago, in the British Parliament, that as long as this Quran continues to exist, the West will never win its war against the East. What's the West? It's not a geographical location. It's belief, kufr. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. It's not talking about any geographical location. That's why I pity Muslims who give preference to their tribe over religion. I pity you. Because when the non-Muslims want to kill Muslims, it's not any tribe that they're looking for. It's anybody that says Allahu Akbar. But you are there concerned about tribe. If this country, wal-iyadu billah, if anything happens to this country, we don't pray so. And we now split, there will be a serious problem for Islam. Because the Muslims in the south-south will know that it was better when they were with their Muslim brothers from the north. They will see serious discrimination. What happened to the Muslims in Bosnia might happen to them. So it's better for them that we don't split. It's better for all of us that we don't split. So whatever will keep this country one is what all of us must do. And we must do it in such a way that we do justice to all. We be fair to ourselves. وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ So kufr is greater to Allah than war. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينُكُمْ إِنِ اسْتَطَعُوا Always what they try to do is first kill you. If they can't kill you, then they try to dissuade you from practicing your religion. And there are so many ways that that has been done to the Muslim Ummah. So we're asking the authorities to reverse that to maintain the peace that we have. And to correct some of the problems we now have. Reverse all that. Don't force Muslim children to keep their heads bare if they are female. Our female, our children, our girls in schools, don't force them to go without hijab. Allow them to wear their full hijab as the Quran says. يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ Allow them to do that. Allow our boys to wear trousers because it's wrong for a Muslim to wear shorts and expose his laps. A male. Don't force us to do that because that is وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنِ اسْتَطَعُوا You are trying to dissuade us from practicing our religion. If you ask us to do that which you do because we are not the same. In your religion, it might be permissible. In our religion, it is not. Don't force our female lawyers to dress like the female Christian or non-Muslim lawyers dress. Don't force that. The dress has nothing to do with the brain. The practice of law is about knowing the law and defending yourself with the law. It has nothing to do with the dress. If you have a dress code as non-Muslims, we have a dress code as Muslims. Respect our dress code. We will respect your own. In fact, we will never want any non-Muslim woman to dress like a Muslim woman. We don't even want it. Dress like a Christian or dress like a Jew or dress like a kafira. That's what we ask you to do. In Sharia state, we will not even allow it. So don't allow Muslims to look like non-Muslims. No, that's not possible. Because if you do that, the Muslims will grow. And the non-Muslims don't want that. So every time it is Muslims, you do as non-Muslims. Anytime you say you want to do as Muslims, they say, no, that is discriminatory. That is this, that is that. That is tantamount to Islamizing the whole world. But what of Muslim women looking like Christians? Is that not Christianizing the whole world? No, that is not so. That is civilizing the world. Yes, that is making the world civilized if Muslims look like Christians. But if Christians look like Muslims, no, no. That is looking savage. That is being uncivilized. That is returning to Stone Age. You know, this is very unfair to Muslims. وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ Whoever turns away from his religion amongst you, you Muslims, فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرْ and dies as a kafir, as a non-Muslim, فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ For such people, any act of worship they engaged in has been wasted. If you commit ridda, and there are so many ways you can commit ridda. One of them is to reject the Islamic way of doing everything. For banking, there is banking for non-Muslims, there is banking for Muslims. If you turn away from your religion of Islamic banking and you go to non-Islamic banking and you die like that, wal-iyadu billah. You know, for us, it's part and parcel of our religion. For non-Muslims, they say, when you are in Rome, do like Romans. When you are in the hotel, do like hoteliers. When a girl is amongst prostitutes, you should behave like a prostitute. But Islam says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not allow yourself to die except as a Muslim. So your identity as a Muslim goes everywhere with you as a Muslim. Even if you are in Rome, you do like the Meccans. You do not do like the Romans. You do like the Meccans. You do like the Muslims. That's what Islam tells us to do. If you are in Rome, do like the Muslims. If you are in America, still do like the Muslim. Be a Muslim. Everywhere. If you are in the army, be a Muslim. That's what we must do to attain peace in this country. If any Muslim allows himself to leave his identity and he dies like that, then his whole life would have been wasted. Wal-iyadu billah. The difference between a man and a cock or a goat or a pig is Islam. If you don't have any relationship with Allah, if you don't engage in religious activities, then you are not different from lower animals. Because they do not pray, they do not do any of those. You don't see them do that. They only eat, they excrete, you know, either through sweat or whatever, if they sweat at all. I've never seen a goat sweating. So, and then they just conjugate, and that is all. That's all they do. We don't see them do any other thing. There's a difference between man and such animals. وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Whoever leaves his identity, whoever abandons his religion, and allows himself to die, abandoning his religion, his identity or his religious practice, that person will be rejected by Allah. He would have wasted his life because all his acts of ibadah would have been wasted. And then he'll be amongst the losers and he'll be amongst those who will go to hellfire on the day of resurrection. How many more minutes do we have for the tafsir? 7 for the tafsir. So we can still take another ayah. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And those who dwell in hellfire forever. May we not be amongst them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا.
الذين آمنوا والذين هاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله أولئك يرجون رحمة الله والله غفور رحيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا, and those who migrate, leave their towns for another place just to be able to worship Allah. وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and those who fight in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. All those are among those who are said to be seeking their Lord's mercy and bounties. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forgiving and very merciful. So they will obtain His mercy if that's what they seek. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, explains in this tafsir that after what we related yesterday had happened, some people went and did some striving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and got what they got. And then, of course, the Quran said a lot about the shaheed, that person who sacrifices his life for the sake of Allah and makes some efforts, Allah will reward him, Allah will do this and that. And then they were asking after that, how they can obtain that. I mean, since they also want to be part of that, they also want to be able to fight so that they can get that reward. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this ayah. So it's not through only one practice that you can obtain Allah's rahmah. If you are not able to do this, there is this for you to do. If you are not able to do this, there is that for you to do. As a Muslim, you never are in want of something with which to gain Allah's mercy. It was reported authentically. It's in Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahiha. It was reported that some people, three of them, embraced Islam. They were non-Muslims, or they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they showed interest in embracing Islam, and they did. So they became Muslims. So they were asked to go and stay with one Sahabi. I've forgotten his name now. So that Sahabi housed them and was teaching them the deen. And of course they were learning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it was time for a particular expedition, one of them was taken. One of them was chosen to go with the army. He went and he was martyred. He died a shaheed. Another time there was another expedition, and the second person amongst them was taken. He also was martyred. The third person never went to any battle because there was no expedition to which he was asked to go. So he died maybe on the sick bed, or just died, as they say, naturally. And he just died like that. So the other people died artificially. So he died. And then the Sahabi who housed them had a dream. And in that dream, he saw these three people in Al-Jannah. Allah had admitted them to paradise. But the one that died last, who never went to war, that one was leading the pack. The second person to die was in the middle. The first person to die was the last person. So he was surprised. He went and told the Prophet that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what I saw. How come that happened? And the Prophet said, are you surprised? You shouldn't be surprised. That's how it is. Laysa afdala. Laysa afdala min Muslimin or mu'minin. There is nobody more loved by Allah, more honored by Allah than a Muslim. Yu'ammaru fil Islam. Who lives long as a Muslim. So if you and I are Muslims and we've been worshipping Allah since we were born, you are 20 years old, I am 40 years old, then of course I am more loved by Allah than you, because I've done more. I have done more of worshipping Allah than you have. So the fact that I have worshipped Allah more number of times than you means that I am closer to Allah than you. So we get closer to Allah based on our worship, the things we have done to get closer to Allah, not based on our tribe. You find a lot of people making that mistake because they come from a particular tribe. They say, however any other person tries to worship Allah, as long as he is not from our tribe, Islam is questionable. It is your own that is questionable. By saying that alone, it means, you know, you need to check your Islam. It doesn't have to do with any tribe. I was told once that somebody went to Maiduguri, and he went to a house, greeted them, assalamu alaikum, everybody responded, and he was speaking Hausa. So there was an old Kanuri woman in the house. So she said, what of this one? She spoke her language. They said, no, he can't understand Kanuri. He only speaks Hausa. She said, he doesn't understand Kanuri? And they said, yes. So she said, how does he pray? because she had lived all her life saying Fatiha in Kanuri. The person that was giving me this story even started saying Fatiha in Kanuri. Of course, I can't remember that. That to some of them, those old people, that's how they've always been praying. And they have believed that if you don't understand the language, you can't be a Muslim. Because you can only pray in their language. There are some other people like that. The Hausas, when they are referring to the Islamic calendar, they say the Hausa calendar. There are Hausa people who say that. They say, what's today's date? And I say, 17. They say, okay, na Hausa? Is it for our own Hausa, their own Hausa calendar, or is it the one for other tribes? You know, there are such mistakes that people make. But no, Islam is not based on that. It is strictly who is closer to Allah. So, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, there is nobody closer to Allah, more honored by Allah, than that person who has spent a lot of time worshipping Allah. لِتَكْبِيرِهِ وَتَحْمِيدِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Because he has spent a lot of his time saying Allahu Akbar, he has spent his time saying Alhamdulillah, which means in gratitude. He has spent his life showing gratitude to Allah. He has spent his life magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many ways, not just Allahu Akbar. But that is what was used to signify the rest. So he said there is nobody greater in the sight of Allah than that. So that engaging in acts of ibadah all your life, even if you never have the opportunity to go and become a shaheed, could make you even more honored by Allah than some shuhada. Because you had more time to worship Allah than they. So the more time you worship, you have to worship Allah, the more your chances of becoming more honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether you get the chance to become a shaheed or not, you can still be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your activities. If you say subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim, it's kalimatani khafifatani ala al-lisan habibatani ila al-rahman thaqilatani ala al-mizan. There are two words that are very easy to say. They are very easy to say. Everybody can say them. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. They are very easy to say. And Allah loves those words. Allah loves them. And then on the mizan, they are very heavy. They are very heavy. They can fetch you a lot more rewards than other things that you are thinking about. So just get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His remembrance. But remember, when you say subhanallah wa bihamdihi, you have to know the meaning and you have to put it in practice. It's not just saying it with your tongue and not doing it, not practicing it. If you do that, you are hated by Allah. So you say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayy al-Qayyum. And then a girl passes by and and you do that. So you will be punished instead of rewarded. Or you're saying that and your beard is shaved. Or you're saying that and your trousers are beyond your ankles. You'll be punished rather than rewarded. Because you're sinning against Allah and you're saying Astaghfirullah. You're mocking Allah. So you have to practice the implication of what you're saying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا. So if you believe in Allah, al-Iman has to do with seeking knowledge, knowing Allah, and then acting upon what you have known. That is al-Iman. So إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who seek knowledge and work in accordance with the knowledge that they have, وَهَاجَرُوا, and then they make the sacrifices of migrating, leaving that which their hearts love, fleeing from their whims. What is it Allah says in Surah Al-Layl? وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. No, that's not the one I want. I mean, that's not actually the one I'm looking for. Who can tell me the one I'm looking for? وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. So if you fear the standing before your Lord, and then you deny your soul, you deny your heart what it desires, but then give your soul or your body what Allah desires. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Is that correct? Naam. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and that's what we must do. So wahajar, a hijra here, somebody will say, but there is no hijra, we can't perform hijra to anywhere. You can. You can do hijra from sins to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If in so-so room in which you are, the people there are all zunat, they bring girls and they fornicate with them while you can see, you ask somebody like them to replace you in the room so that you go to the room where you have people who do not do that. That is hijrah. That is migration. You make a sacrifice. You leave a place for another so that you'll be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that place. That is sacrifice. That is migration. وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And those who are able to fight for the sake of Allah. If you have the opportunity of fighting and you run from it, you are a munafiq. If you live your life never hoping to fight to defend the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, and you die like that, you die a munafiq. So they say, no, but that means you're violent people. You talk about fight, fight. But look at America, look at Russia, look at England, look at this. The ones you think are civilized. Who has fought more wars than they have fought in their lives? Who has fought more wars? Look at the war in Libya today. The people fighting are called freedom fighters. They said they are Democrats. They are fighting for democracy. They are fighting for the liberation of Libya. The people fighting in Afghanistan, those ones are terrorists. But the Russians were going to take over their land and they fought to defend that. Then when Americans thought that they were going to favor them, they called them freedom fighters. When they now said even America cannot take over the land, they now said they are now terrorists. And that's what is happening. So we must fight to defend our religion. We must fight to defend what we believe in if we are oppressed. If we are not oppressed, we can't even fight a goat. A Muslim should not kill a goat for no reason. If you just kill it like that, and you don't eat it, you have committed a sin. You have wasted wealth. And we are not allowed to do that as Muslims. So you're only allowed to kill that person who is killing you in self-defense. وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. These are the people who should, these are the people who should seek, who should hope for Allah's rahmah. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, and verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins and show us mercy here and on the day of resurrection. This is how far we can go today. Insha'Allah ta'ala, tomorrow we'll start from يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. The first question I have here says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa barakatuh. May Allah guide us all to the right path. Ameen. Are Muslims allowed to invade a non-Muslim state that did not do any bad to us so as to conquer the state into becoming an Islamic state? The land, the whole of the world belongs to Allah. So Allah says, every land is His and must be given to Him. So it is permissible for Muslims to turn the state into an Islamic state because that is Allah's command. But is it permissible to force individuals in that state to become Muslims? It's not permissible. That is the difference between us and the kuffar. The kuffar are saying all states in the world must become democratic states. But they say if you make a state, an Islamic state, is wrong. It is terrorism. But if you make a state, democratic state, it is democratic. It is, that one is permissible. In fact, that one is civilized. Isn't that ironical? So, but then, the difference between us is, if the state becomes an Islamic state, individuals must not become Muslims. But in their own case, if they say it's now a democratic state, then everybody must be part and parcel of democracy. You are forced to become a Democrat, whether you like it or not. And if you say you don't believe in it, then you become a problem to the state and you must be fought, because you must become a Democrat. See, even non-Muslims like Fidel Castro, America is trying all it can to force democracy into the state by hook or crook. We don't do that. We don't force individuals to become Muslims. You can't. You can never do it, because Islam is in the heart, is in the mind. You can't force it into somebody's mind. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Allah said that to his prophet. You can't guide somebody because you want him to be guided. You can't do that. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that guides whom he wills. If Allah wants anybody to be guided, the person becomes guided. But you can't guide whom you want to guide. You can't. So you can't force Islam into any heart. And so we don't do that. So of course, yes, we can conquer the land so that it becomes an Islamic state. But no, we cannot force the individuals in the place to become Muslims. This one says, Salaamu alaykum, alaykum as-salam. If I embark on a journey which requires me to drop fasting in the month of Ramadan, when I get back home, my wife just finished her menstruation. Can I mate with her? If you are not fasting, you can sleep with your wife. Of course you can, if she is not also fasting. She has finished menstruating, but she cannot fast for a reason. Then you can sleep with her. But if she just finished menstruating in the afternoon, that means she was not also fasting that day, because she can't start fasting that afternoon. It means she has not fasted that day. You can sleep with her that day. But if she finished menstruating and she woke up with the niyyah of fasting that day, then you can't sleep with her because she is fasting. But if she is not fasting and she has a good reason for not fasting, and you are also not fasting, you can sleep with her. Does Islam support the donation of a part of our body organs like liver, kidney, etc. after our demise? No. Ordinarily, no. But if the state deems it fit, it can be donated. So the reason why I said no is that if a Muslim dies, we are not allowed to cut open the person or to cut his ear and things. In fact, even a Christian, even a non-Muslim, any non-Muslim, if he dies, maybe he's killed in battle, we are not allowed to start severing his limbs again. That is not permissible. So you don't do any such thing to a corpse. You just go and bury the corpse. If it's a non-Muslim, you allow fellow non-Muslims to go and bury the person. We don't bury non-Muslims, just like non-Muslims should not bury us. They should also give our bodies to fellow Muslims to bury, because that's what we also do. So ordinarily, yes. No, we don't take out somebody's liver. But then if it has become necessary, you see, in a Muslim state, the affairs of men and women, everybody, are in the hands of the state. So the state does as it deems fit. So if it's deemed fit, it can be removed and, transplanted. I hope this is understood. So it depends on what the ulama, the state, say at such a time. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our acts of ibadah and to forgive the mistakes we make every day of our lives and to reward the little we do with al-jannatul firdaus. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to make it possible for us to live in peace as he would want. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.